So we want to hear from you tonight. Pick up the phone right now, 0114-279-6699. We'll get to the lines in a few moments' time. Former Owls boss Brian Laws joins us right at the top of the show. Evening, Brian. So your first reaction to the departure of Stuart Gray?
Well, I've got to say, I'm shocked, to say the least. I am taken aback a wee bit because it's... I just heard you just say there, you know, from May, the last game of the season, to now, it's been a long time, and procedures were in place, movements and obviously dialogue between manager and new players potentially. And I only spoke to Stuart last week as well, prior to him going on holiday, and we were talking about optimism for next season. It's amazing. He had obviously no idea what was going on, and this just seems to have been something that's just come out of the blue.
Today, fans in the back end of the season following the takeover of the football club were saying to us, at least, I hope Stuart Gray gets the chance to lead the team going forward. He sorted out the defence, midfield not bad, could do with a couple of strikers, certainly. There was a foundation there. So this sacking, you know, seems exceptionally harsh, doesn't it?
Well, it does. I mean, when you look at it in the cold light of day, it does. But that also tells you the brutality of football as well, in what new chairman, new owners take with them. You know, there's always a fear. I think Stuart knew that a new chairman coming in is prepared to spend fortunes on players and put in a lot of money, then I think he wants to just clear the decks, and he wants to bring his own men in to do that. And unfortunately, that is the nasty side of football. It's you know, the human aspect of it all, and the fact that, you know, Stuart's done a terrific job doesn't really take into account. Unfortunately, it's just his own personal preferences. And the owner has that option to do that. And whether we agree with it or not, he's the man who's making the decisions and certainly got the money to back it with. So for me, it's very, very harsh. And I've been in this situation, even with Burnley, with a new regime taking over. Somebody, they want their own men in it. It doesn't matter. They don't want to inherit a previous manager. They want to bring their own in. And it just seems the case at the moment. As it stands.
I mean, that seems entirely understandable, Brian. I mean, if I was buying a football club for a lot of money, I mean, Des Panchansiri spent £37 million on this club, it's only fair, I suppose, that he gets the chance to choose his man to try and take it into the Premier League. I think the one thing that I would question is Sheffield Wednesday's last game was on May the 2nd. I was only speaking to Stuart Gray last week about the re-signing of Kieran Lee, and he was talking about his hopes for him for the future. And yet here we are on the 11th of June, and Wednesday are now deciding it's time to make a change. Why couldn't they have made this change right at the end of last season if they were always intending and moving on from Stuart Gray?
Well, exactly. I mean, yeah, I understand that. And as I said, you know, I'm speaking to Stuart last week as well, and he's, you know, it's bizarre, isn't it? You know, you don't know what's around the corner. But they must have been talking about this or discussing this certainly at board level, and the chairman must have been in dialogue. You know, the powers that be that are formally within the club now, and you know, coming to a decision now, they must have somebody in mind to take over the role. I don't think doesn't sound like it's a knee-jerk reaction because of the delay that they've had. They've not sort of waited and before they've made the decision. So, you know, for me, I feel for Stuart, I really do, because he's a super guy. He's a really good coach. The players liked him. I thought he'd done terrifically well with the players that he had, and to sustain and stabilise the football club as he did with the budget that he had within his grasp was a terrific job. And unfortunately, you know, it doesn't stand him too well with the new chairman. He just wants to make his own decision, which is, you know, we all understand that. That's part of the football industry. And if somebody is going to put in millions of pounds and he wants to bring in his own men, so be it. And you know, unfortunately, there's going to be some casualties along the way. And in this case, it's going to be Stuart. Harshly that it is, but the reality is that, you know, the powers that be will make decisions like that.
Just quickly, Brian, what kind of coach do Wednesday need next? What kind of qualities does the next man need to have?
Well, I mean, Stuart had certainly good qualities there. And as you mentioned, strong defence. You know, they only needed one or two acquisitions, I thought, to improve them, for sure. What the new manager is going to entail, well, if they're going to have this new position where it's going to be a head coach, then it's going to be somebody who understands the fact, the mechanics of it all, who's worked with it previously, and who has the power to actually turn, you know, what their players are going to bring in into really good players and to form a good team. So there's going to be some real qualities that the manager has to have. And as you mentioned, maybe somebody with experience in that role. And who in the UK has got that kind of experience working with the working in that position? It sounds to me it could be a foreign manager.
Brian, we're going to leave it there. Thanks a lot. That is this Brian, who's the former Sheffield Wednesday manager there, Brian Laws, on BBC Radio Sheffield. We are reacting here, Rob and Andy, with you to the news that Stuart Gray has left his position. We're going to hit the lines very shortly and get as many calls on as possible between now and 9 o'clock. Let's quickly speak to the former Sheffield Wednesday striker, Gordon Watson, who was with me at Bournemouth not long ago, Gordon, watching a thrilling game between Sheffield Wednesday and the eventual champions, Bournemouth. Give us your reaction to the fact that Stuart Gray's left his post tonight?
Pretty mixed up, really, because why didn't they do it sort of a month ago? And also, you got to say that if you're going to do it now, because obviously the boys are going to come in, they can get themselves ready and hit the ground running in pre-season. So at least they haven't done it halfway through pre-season, which obviously most clubs that do that go on to have an absolute dismal year. Opportunity now, isn't it? Opportunity for someone big to come in, grab the club by the short and curlies and take it back to where it belongs.
And do you feel that the next person that comes in, Gordon, will have to be the head coach role and possibly with that somebody from overseas?
No, I don't see that. I mean, listen, I think that's a massive gamble. I see that it's going to be someone that's... it's got to be big enough for Sheffield Wednesday, first of all, to attract the right players. I thought what Stuart did was unbelievable, to be fair. I thought, yes, I think stabilising is definitely a word you'd use. I think the players he had are not good enough for Sheffield Wednesday to take him into the Premiership. So for them to do as well as they did, it's nothing but praise for Stuart and his team. But let's look at it going forward. You're looking at it thinking, right, someone's going to have to come in now, and they're going to have an awareness about them of what they need, because I don't care. Adam and Glenn, they didn't see much of many games, so they're going to be in the dark as well. So you're going to have a manager or a head coach comes in who already knows his targets.
Gordon, appreciate your time. That is Gordon Watson there, the former Sheffield Wednesday striker. Just another note on this. So the players at Sheffield Wednesday were very fond of Stuart Gray. And I've had a text tonight from one of the players saying that this is terrible news. And that's not because he's a player's coach, was too close to his players. It's because Stuart Gray was very hands-on and we're very close with these players. And there's going to be a lot of disappointed people in that Sheffield Wednesday squad. And a new man is going to have to come in and he's going to have to try and organise the players that are there and bring in others as well, or with the help of the committee's shape is going to be, whether or not anybody else is going to be added to this committee. But a lot of change on the way at Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah, Kieran Lee perhaps being one of them. So 0114 279 6699 is the number for you to have your say on this big news tonight. First caller is Ben. Evening, Ben. So your reaction.
Evening, your reaction.
Hi, Ben.
Yeah.
I mean, it probably sounds daft what I'm about to say, really, but I'm kind of expected it, yet at the same time, totally shocked, if that makes sense. I don't think it does, really. But
Well, I think on nights like this, you're entitled to a few mixed emotions when the guy that's just left has actually done a pretty good job for you.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, at times, he did annoy me, Stuart Gray, with his negativity at times, particularly in certain games at home. I thought it could have been more attacking, but I think when you look at the job he did overall, you can't argue against him staying on. I think he at least deserved a crack at next season. He had no money to spend, basically. Did a cracking job last season, overall. The only thing I can think of is he wasn't a fan of his new transfer policy. Is that a reason why he's left?
Well, it is a transfer policy that will be defined and decided by committee now. We'll never
well,
know
you
if
know
there
what,
was
Ben,
a complete difference of opinion
it's,
there.
It's my understanding that Stuart Gray felt that the Bournemouth model, and it's no coincidence that he pointed to that, because they won the title last year, as the way forward for Sheffield Wednesday, largely homegrown players, or at least players that understood the Championship, and building that way. And I just have to imagine that there's been a difference there in opinion on the direction of which way Wednesday are going to go this summer.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go. I mean, look at the job Bournemouth did. It were brilliant and played great football. It worked for them, and I think that is a model that we should maybe look at.
Well, Stuart Gray certainly fancied that. I wonder if this is the Watford model. Four managers in one season and a lot of players from overseas, and see how you get on.
You just hope so. I mean, I just hope we don't go down the Leeds route. I know it worked for Watford, but generally it doesn't work, does it? As for a new man, no idea really who's going to come in. Maybe Djukanovic from Watford, maybe he's a man, recently left there, who knows. A lot of people say Mark Warburton, don't really see that happening. Didn't he leave Brentford because he was unhappy with their transfer policy, so I can't see Mark Warburton getting the job. Paul Lambert, I think, is a good shout, did brilliant at Norwich. I'm more than happy with Paul Lambert, so I just hope it's not Benny Carboni or Sven-Göran Eriksson.
Well, I think Benito Carboni has linked himself, and Sven-Göran Eriksson is on some kind of whopping deal in China, and he always gets linked with any job, really. But I can't see that somehow.
Yeah, I just hope it's ideally somebody young that's hungry, that's a little bit proven. Also, I mean, I'm going to put another name out there, Nigel Pearson.
Do you think he'd leave Leicester though?
I do. He's under a lot of pressure at Leicester. Rumours that they're getting sacked last season. Also recent events there with a couple of players. I think he could be leaving Leicester soon. So,
you couldn't rule it out, but at the same time, I just think that Nigel Pearson has proven himself this year to be a manager of Premier League quality. And despite all of the rousing, I'm not saying that because I'm worried about a press conference with him, by the way. I'm saying that because I think he deserves to manage in the Premier League. This is Ian.
Sounds great. Fun. Evening, Ian.
Evening, Rob. Evening, Andy.
Hi, Ian.
So, Stuart Gray out. Surprised?
Oh. I weren't 100% surprised, no, because there's been a few rumours in the last few days. I mean, I'm a little bit shocked, though, when it has finally happened. And seeing some of the names that are being bandied about, it doesn't really fill me with confidence.
Yeah, but what names are being bandied about, though? I mean, it's so early, and while with the Sheffield United job, there seem to be a couple of very clear candidates, Nigel Adkins being the main one and eventually got the job. I think it's a lot more open, Ian, isn't it? I mean, there's people wondering whether a foreign coach comes in, people wondering if just it's going to be a proven guy like Paul Lambert, who's won promotion from this level, or is it going to be a total wild card? I mean, there's so many options here for Wednesday.
Well, as I say, with the options that I've seen so far, I'm hoping it is a wild card because, you know, Allardyce seems to be a strong...
I can't say, Ian, it was only a few weeks ago he said he was taking a break from football.
Exactly, yeah, and in my opinion, is he a bit past it? Is he a bit old for it?
Well, he's been a top manager. Can you really expect him joining a committee to become a head coach?
Not at all, no.
I mean, we're talking about a multi-millionaire in Sam Allardyce who is, very comfortable, has just left the Premier League and said he wants to take a break from the game. He's coming in to try and, you know, a dogfight in the Championship. Is that a challenge for Sam Allardyce? I'd be a little bit surprised if it was.
Yeah, I mean, if he gives himself 6 months, his chance for another Premier League job, I would imagine.
You would say so, wouldn't you?
Would you think they've chosen somebody, or is it now the time to start looking?
Well, here's the thing. They've got a couple of weeks before the start of pre-season, possibly three. They will have to press ahead with the transfer plans, whoever is the deciding factor in those transfer plans.
Yeah.
I don't think it's unreasonable to think that they have at least one or two candidates in mind.
Yeah, yeah.
And if they haven't, they should, given the fact
that they've let it
get to this stage for sacking Gray.
It's the 11th of June.
Yeah.
I mean, they've had over a month since the final game. If they haven't got somebody lined up, I'd be surprised.
Yeah. They've probably been putting feelers out, haven't they, this last few weeks. Well, let's just hope we're not disappointed when we hear who it is.
All right, Ian, thanks for your call to the programme. 0114 279 6699. We're on air until 9 o'clock tonight. So, Wednesday fans, your reaction to the departure of Stuart Gray tonight. Surprised, not surprised, and perhaps who next? Michael. Evening, Michael.
Evening, gents.
Hi, Michael.
Hello.
What's your view tonight, Michael?
Not massively surprised, but massively shocked it's happened. I think
the biggest shock is the fact it's happened now. And we've had such a quiet period, and we've had Kieran Lee sign his new contract. We hear Stuart Gray in the media, on the radio, in the papers, talking about that only a couple of days ago. So I think it's the timing that's more of a surprise than anything else. I think what I would say is that if it's going to happen, then I'm glad it's happened now. If it's kind of like pre-season, if you know what I mean. So a new man can come in, get his plans in place and get his players in, and we can take it from there.
What would be the type of profile of successor to Gray would you want? I mean, we're talking about, we're only speculating at the minute, somebody from overseas, possibly a bit of a wild card, somebody in this country that fans know that's got at least one promotion from the Championship on his CV. What would you want?
A couple of things, really. I think it's not about just getting up, it's about staying up as well, isn't it? And I think that, although it may well be unrealistic, someone like Sam Allardyce would be a good shout. I mean, I know his football's not necessarily attractive, but you look at the club that he's left and where they are now versus where they were when he was there, that tells its own story. But I think my wild card I put out there, and it might be a bit of a blind shot, but it'd be something like Sean Dyche, actually. I know he's had a good job with Burnley, he seems to be settled and happy there, but they've just gone down. I think to come to someone like us that's got the money to spend and invest, to get us out of the Championship as he did with Burnley, and a much bigger chance of staying there, I think he'd be a good shout for us.
Well, that is an interesting shout. I mean, he's already been linked with other jobs, hasn't he?
Yeah,
you know, he got linked to Sundland before Advocaat.
And you can see why, can't you? I mean, he's done an amazing. He did a good job at Watford as well before he got sat there. He was treated quite badly there, wasn't he?
That seems to ring a bell, that, Ian, yes. It's certainly going to be an interesting 24, 48 hours, isn't it? I mean, Stuart Gray has left a team that needs a bit of tinkering. Mm-hmm. It needs certainly a couple of forwards and a couple of half-decent wingers, but the basis of a half-decent side is there.
Absolutely. I think ultimately the draws killed him, didn't they? You know, getting towards the end of the season. And you just think if maybe three or four of them draws had been wins, and it's all about what-ifing. You know, if my auntie was a bloke, she'd be my uncle, wouldn't she? We can what-if all day long. but at the end of the day, them draws have killed him, and just two or three of them turn into wins, you're not far off playoffs, he might have got a chance. But what I will say is, I don't believe he's been overly happy with this whole business of a committee. And listening to what he has said in interviews, and when it was first announced at Glen Rhoda and all the rest of it, he didn't strike me as someone who was overly keen, overly passionate, overly happy about it. It wasn't exactly a ringing endorsement. So I know it only just happened, and we'll see what happens over the coming days, and I know that you guys will do a bit of digging around in the next couple of days, but it seems to me it's not necessarily the fact that he's been sacked. It seems to me he may have walked.
Well, you do speak to people in football, and this is anecdotal only, and if I had a pound for the amount of times I'd heard, committees don't work. It's a view that people in football have. It may well be a spectacular success for Sheffield Wednesday, but the general perception is that if you've got too many cooks, if you like, it spoils the broth.
Well, it's one I agree with. At the end of the day, if it was so successful, why ain't everyone doing it? But I would also say as well, you have to look at someone like Alex Ferguson, who's been a, say what you want about him as a person or how he's done and all the rest of it, but he's someone who'll always say the book has to start with one person. One person has to make the decisions. One person has to manage. Not just in football, but in life. And I think it needs one voice making the decisions. And I'm not convinced about the committee. Open-minded, don't get me wrong, but I'm not convinced.
Well, it's not a great start for a committee that started with three men and has got one left, and we've, just under 2 months that it's been in existence. Adam Pearson and Stuart Gray have gone. Glenn Rhoda remains. A couple of other people have been added to that committee since. But, you know, it goes to show how a lot can change very quickly in football, I guess. In the text here, Pistol Pete says, what about you guys at Radio Sheffield? We're hoping for a long summer off, but as Sheffield clubs never give you any rest, it's not going to notice.
That's
that,
true.
Pete, I'm not sorry to see Gray go, as watching Wednesday at home last season was nothing but a chore. The timing is a bit odd, but I just hope we have a replacement lined up. Paul Lambert gets my vote. The S6 Owl says, timing a bit out, granted, but to be fair, we won 5 games at home all season and it's not acceptable. I'd like to see Lambert or Di Matteo. And Mick says, Rob, there's only one man for me and that's David Moyes. Come on, Wednesday, let's see your ambition. Thank you, Stuart. OK, this is Steve. Hi, Steve, you're in Ireland.
Hi, Steve.
Cheers. Good evening.
Good evening.
Just giving a ring. I must admit, I'm massively disappointed, but not really surprised. I think Alan Nixon on Twitter called this at least 3 or 4 weeks ago at least. There has been rumblings over this, and you've got to question where we're going as a football club. Massively, massively worried about who's advising our chairman.
Well, you know, it's a good question because, you know, I would have presumed a few weeks ago that Adam Pearson would be the main man doing that with his experience of running a football club, and he quickly moved on to Leeds United. And the people who are now part of the committee, that the football men, don't get me wrong, they are very much football men. Glenn Roeder, big football man. But none of the three individuals part of that setup right now have got experience like Adam Pearson of running a club. But I think that Dej Pondicherry is very focused and clear that he wants Wednesday in the Premier League as soon as possible. And he feels, Steve, that this is what he has to do to get Wednesday there.
Yeah, I get that. But, like, it's been, I don't know, like, you keep hearing mumblings and, like, things, it just doesn't seem to be, I don't know, it just doesn't seem to be going very well at the minute. Like, obviously, it is kind of a quiet time. You aren't going to get that many people signing around now, although some of the clubs like Derby have started to bring in the likes of Wyman and Bent. And, like, we don't seem to be linked with anyone. And all you seem to be hearing is, well, Gray could be going. And, like, we're in the middle of June, the fixtures are out next week. It's just a bit worrying. And, like, you, like, I suppose you hear about the, well, the season tickets are phase two. It's very expensive now to go. And like the executive boxes, I think someone said there's only been one sold because they're 40 grand for the season next year.
Yeah, we'd heard similar noises to that as well. I think Sheffield Wednesday as a football club need to come out now. Well, if you'd have asked me yesterday, I would have said about one or two players and players of real quality to maybe get the fans going as regards season tickets and local businesses as regards the boxes too. But now, of course, they need to make something of a statement as appointing their next head coach
it's
as
still,
well.
It's still very early on the players. I mean, Wednesday signed Kieran Westwood at the start of July last year. Not a bad signing to have to kick things off last summer, and
but it's somebody
else's
still
plenty of time.
It's somebody else's opinion now, though, isn't it? Somebody else is going to get added to the pot. Somebody else is going to say, "Well, actually, if I have any say on transfers, I don't necessarily
agree with that
one."
Well, that's the question,
isn't
it? Are they going to have any say?
Well, it is, but they will have to have some involvement. Whether it's all about Glenn Roeder now, and he's the only one left, or one of the only ones left, and then Mr. Chancery. It's very interesting times, and whether Stuart Gray liked the committee at all. Certainly won't like it tonight.
OK, this is Tom.
Hi, Rob.
Hi, Tom.
My thinking is, you know, I personally think that, you know, you've got to have one voice and not a committee. I don't personally think, however, that it's Gray that's made the... A lot of people, I've just been listening, and a guy said earlier that it might have been Gray, you know, kind of Warburton-esque fallout with the old system. I think Chancery has looked at it from a business perspective, and as people have been saying, he's charging a lot of money for boxes and a lot of money for season tickets. If you're going to charge a premium price, you've got to have quality. And I think Stuart Gray's football at home last season, 5 wins at home, is that worth paying as what are paying for season tickets? And I think, whilst, you know, I personally would like a man like Allardyce, who's a great manager at this kind of level, whether he wants a job or not, is up for debate.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're focusing almost a bit. I think we're in danger of... I know that he's the bookie's favourite, if you could put anything in that at this early stage, but...
That just means someone's put 200 quid on it being Sam Allardyce.
Or 20 quid. I mean, you know, that's
exactly.
Sam Allardyce is the name that... We've gone through it. I mean, if people missed it earlier on, Sam Allardyce has made it quite clear that he's having a break from football.
Well, regardless, I think whilst he's something some fans might want, and I personally would like him, I think Chancery's looking for aesthetically quality football. And I don't know if you saw the documentary on Sky about Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank at Burton, and how he's... It was called Burton My Barcelona, which I quite enjoyed the title of. But basically, we're employing a European style of football like we've seen at Watford. Whether that means we're going to get an influx of European players like they did at Watford, or whether we're going to see 4 managers in a season, which I don't think, obviously, anyone wants. But maybe someone like Paul Lambert or Floyd Hasselbank to bring that kind of football in, where we obviously want to win games, but win them well, you know, so people are going to be wanting to pay the money for the season.
Yeah, I mean,
ticket.
Tom, that for me, that just sounds like a very dangerous... If you're banking on... I mean, football is not the kind of thing where you can guarantee anything, and if you're banking on... you know, however good the new manager is, to come in and not just to win, but to win with a bit of style. I mean, we were in a meeting with Nigel Adkins, the new Sheffield United manager, this lunchtime, and he was talking about how much time that managers need and are not getting. He's made a comment earlier, I think, that the average lifespan of a coach in the Championship is seven months.
About 7 months. It's come down in the last couple of months.
And that's aided, of course, by Leeds and Watford shenanigans, and the two clubs had different fortunes last year, of course. But, you know, you've got to look at a situation here, and I, even if Wednesday are going to have a lot of money, and if this is about getting in the Premier League as soon as possible, there's still, for me, needs to be some element of long-term planning and stability there.
Well, I think that's what they've got with the committee and the three guys. I think that's what they're trying to look for.
Is it stable, though? The committee was announced as Glenn Rhoda, Adam Pearson and Stuart Gray.
Well, I think the decision being made about Gray, I think Adam Pearson made his own decision, as he wanted to go to his hometown club. He supported Leeds since he was a kid. I don't really know. I mean, like I said, you know, I'm all in favour of a manager who's known at this level. I mean, I think if you said to a lot of players at low Premier League, high Championship level, do you want to sign for Sheffield Wednesday under Sam Allardyce? They'd go, maybe, yeah. Do you want to sign for Stuart Gray? They might say, who?
Do you know what I think they'd say instead? How much are you offering?
Yeah.
It definitely wouldn't be. It definitely wouldn't be, who? Oh, you know what, Stuart Gray, you know, he's not Sam Allardyce, is he? The players, look, and this is no offence to any footballers if you're listening out there, but you'll go to where the money's good. I mean, you're Sheffield Wednesday, a club that wants to try and get in the Premier League. Yeah. And if they're offering the right kind of money, players will go there, whether it's Stuart Gray, Sam Allardyce or whoever.
I dare say there are certain associations in football. You might have worked with a guy before and you like him or what have you, but you'll go somewhere else for an extra 500 quid a week or whatever the going rate is.
This is John. Hi, John.
Hi, John.
Hi there. Good evening.
Good evening, John.
Yeah. Before we start, can I say what a fantastic job I think Brian Laws did at Sheffield Wednesday. I think he's the best manager Wednesday's had in recent times. I mean, Whelan and Brum were just about out of it till Brian got hold of them. And he made the money for Wednesday at the time, and he had no money. We had no money. So while he's there, I'd like to thank him.
Yeah, did well under him.
But I don't think he'll be bothered. But I think he did a far better job than anybody gives him, recognition for.
Yeah, well, that period of time you finished quite well in the Championship. Was it 8th or 9th?
Yeah. Oh, I say.
John, is your second name Laws?
I always thought this. I mean, it made the players, that you got Sheffield Wednesday a lot of money for two players, and Paul Sturrock could more or less cast them off. Brunton, Whelan, and look what they've gone on to. And I think that's down to Brian. Anyhow, about the present situation. There's only two guys, really, who I'd like to see. Either the one and only Nigel Pearson, and number one, the guy at Bournemouth. Is it Eddie Howe? Did they call him Eddie Howe?
Will be something of a coup, but that's not likely, though, is it?
Well, look at the size of our club, the size of Bournemouth. I mean,
yeah, look where Bournemouth are.
But he's bound to know. Their potential is going to be, they'll struggle to get 15,000.
Right, you know what? You kind of said that last year, and no one thought they were going to win the Championship.
They're in the Premier League now.
Well,
Mr. Bournemouth, isn't he? I mean, he loves it down. I mean, he's very much a South Coast guy as well.
Unless it's an absolute disaster, he's got a job there for the next few years. I mean, even assuming they come down.
Well, I mean, they played terrific football, didn't they?
Yeah.
I mean, and as your previous callers have said, we have been bored to tears. And I did ring you up, I rung Jonathan up and said, when he didn't attend the meeting, I thought he'd be on his way out. You know, when the bloke took the club up, putting millions into the club, and Gray didn't even bother to come to the meeting, his birthday or something, I thought, well, that showed a lack of dedication. But anyhow, I've got another couple of names.
Go on.
What about that guy at Southend? I just can't think of his name.
Phil Brown.
Phil, yeah. And what about the manager when he gets the sack at Hull? He's on the cards.
Steve Bruce.
Yeah, Steve Bruce.
Steve Bruce would be if Steve Bruce is looking for... I mean, I don't know if he will be looking for a job in the next few weeks, but there's a man who's won promotion. Of course, a former Sheffield United manager, John, as well. Man, I mentioned that.
No, but his son played for Wednesday at Wembley, didn't he? His son's arts at Hillsborough. But two guys I don't want, and what made me think this was going to happen, is the way Carboni's been mouthing off. I mean, Carboni, I've seen a picture of him with his hands up in the air saying, I'm the next Wednesday manager. Now, I mean, there had to be somebody who'd been talking to him about it, haven't they?
Well, doubtless. I think he's touted himself around, and I appreciate, you know, Carboni, fabulous player. His managerial record leaves a lot to be desired.
Yeah. What about Di Canio?
Yeah, slightly better.
No, you know what? No, I think we'll say ciao to those two possibilities and see what else is available.
Arrivederci.
Yeah.
Anybody else you quite fancy? You've gone for quite a list there.
Well, no, I think it could be. They might go for a foreigner, but I couldn't pronounce the names to save my life. I mean,
him.
Yeah, that one.
Which one?
I don't know. The one you can't pronounce.
No, John,
thanks for your call.
I bet whoever it is, John, I bet he's a good manager. This is Nicky. Hi, Nicky. How's it going?
Hi, Nicky.
Hiya, lads.
Hi.
Trust me, I think next move for Wednesday is going to be a tricky one. People are spouting about people like Allardyce, Steve Bruce. For me, those sort of managers aren't going to come to a club what's got a committee and trying to implement a European sort of management style to a club.
I personally agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, the best option what Wednesday's got out there, I think they're going to have to go foreign to follow this sort of precedence what they're trying to set with the committee. Now, the tricky situation they've got is that if you get a foreigner in and you get a foreigner in like Di Canio, it's the way they carry themselves and the way they go about the job. Now, there's no doubt Di Canio could motivate players, but do you want him managing your club at this sort of level? For me, a foreign manager, I've been quite impressed with the way he's particularly carried himself and the way he's gone about his business, although he's only had one season of it, is what your earlier caller said, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank.
Right.
If you're looking to implement that sort of structure where you're going to have, you know, your committee behind you and the manager's going to sort of be more of a head coach and to develop the players, what the manager brings in, someone like Hasselbank, you know, is a proven Premier League player. He's got a pedigree. He's going to attract players. He's got good links. And he'll have managed, Royal Antwerp with a similar sort of system.
And look, and this is no disrespect to Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank. He did a terrific job at Burton, Nicky, but I'll tell you what, he inherited half a team there. I mean, Gary Rowett has proven for me what a top manager he is. Not just getting Burton where they are, but also then to go to Birmingham, who were a hot mess, having lost 8-0 to Bournemouth at home, and then getting them to safety with weeks to spare. I mean, Gary Rowett's a top man. I think he's going to be a really good manager someday. I mean, maybe he's someone we should talk about. I don't know. I don't want to just tout names around there, but I think that Floyd Hasselbank certainly benefited from a very, very good situation at Burton.
Yeah, definitely. And for me, it's going to be a key statement of intent, you know, what sort of manager they're getting. If they are going to get someone like Allardyce in, I don't think they should do, I don't think they will do. But someone like Allardyce will only come if he's got a certain amount to spend in a transfer window. Now, if they go for someone like that, that means, you know, Wednesday mean business here. They're going to sign some serious players. But then if they do go for someone like a Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, who is lower down the league, working on a tighter budget at Burton, he's inherited a good team, fair enough, yeah. But they're not going to spend that much money on players, I don't feel. It's going to be a key move, next one. We've seen teams locally, to be fair. Sheffield United, when they come down from the Premiership, they had money. Their move, when they sacked Neil Warnock and took on Brian Robson, for me, that pretty much ruined them for the next, well, up until now. So this next move for Wednesday, you know, the first move when they've actually hopefully got a bit of cash to spend in the transfer window, it's going to be a key move for them.
Very true, Nicky, and thanks a lot for your call. That is Nicky there reflecting on the news on BBC Radio Sheffield tonight that Stuart Gray has left Sheffield Wednesday. It is a Football Heaven special. Rob Staton and Andy Giddings taking your calls until 9 o'clock. We're going to speak to Grant next. Hi, Grant.
Hello.
Hi.
So what's your reaction then to Gray going?
I'm shocked. Admittedly, everybody says, you know, he didn't do well at home, he did better away. That's fair enough. But my tips for managers would probably be Redknapp.
Jamie or Harry?
Harry.
I don't know. I think that Harry's turning his hand to Twitter as an indication that maybe he's
a pundit now, isn't he?
Maybe he's moving towards the media side of things, Grant.
Possibly, but it's a possibility, isn't it?
I think it's more than a little, but yeah.
I'd have Emil Marriage Norwich.
You mean Paul Lambert?
Yes. Or Di Matteo, Roberto Di Matteo, as foreigner, because he's doing foreign part.
But he too is somebody who, I appreciate, you know, we take a sort of a broad brush view to say that the committee model is more accepted on the continent. But, you know, if you're talking about Di Matteo, he's been the Chelsea manager and he's been the Schalke manager, as in the head coach, as in the boss. Is he going to want to fit in with something like this?
Well, he did take West Brom up, didn't he?
again, the manager.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I mean, we're on a show this quickly after the announcement, we're going to throw a lot of names around there and fans are going to talk about people that they would consider. And Di Matteo did a decent job at West Brom and was at another club as well. I want to say MK Dons.
Been at MK Dons, yeah.
You know, so he's done it in the outside the top divisions, whether it's in England or Germany. But I don't know. I just would find it very surprising if Champions League winning Roberto Di Matteo, as attractive as Wednesday might be with new owners, would suddenly decide he's going to head to the Championship.
No. And if we're just sort of talking about names, what about Jukanovic? He's just left Watford, etc., etc.
Does he come with Troy Deeney and Vidra as well?
And Almin Abdi, who was amazing on the last game of the season. So, you know, we are just throwing names out there. But, you know, as was mentioned, the previous caller, hugely key appointment. I think we're having a bit of a disagreement about timings here, Rob, but I think it is very important that if they're going to make a decision like this, so close to pre-season, quiet though it may be, it has to be something of a statement by Sheffield Wednesday. And the first couple of players that need to come in need to be the types of players that are maybe going to get some of these fans that are thinking about the money and the investment that they're going to make, whether as an individual or in a business. It's going to be worth it this year.
Possibly. I just wonder whether or not the sign of Wednesday's ambition will be with this appointment. Now, if they come out with a big name, look at the way that the Sheffield United fans have reacted to Nigel Adkins. A lot of them have said, yes, we'll have some of that. A thumbs up to Nigel Adkins at Bramall Lane. You don't always get that with new managers.
And no,
I think there's
no,
been protests outside Bramall Lane with managers in the past.
Hasn't there just?
Now, at Sheffield Wednesday, if they bring in a manager that gets the fans going in the same way, then I think that will have that impact. And ultimately, whether Wednesday sign the players that are going to give them a chance of winning promotion at the end of June, at the start of July, or at the very end of July, as long as they get those players, that is ultimately what matters. And we've seen in previous years, it is coming increasingly harder to make your signings before everybody comes back for pre-season training. Managers always talk about it. When does it ever happen?
Well, it happens less and less because of the stupid way in which we have this transfer window. But nevertheless, they can't be making 8 or 9 signings in the last week of July and up through August, because they're going to need to hit the ground running in the Championship, aren't they? If they're to even look as though they're going to be one of the sides for the playoffs this year, and, you know, potentially, hopefully, question mark, better. 0114 279 6699. I think Jeff's next. Evening, Jeff.
Good evening. How you doing?
All right.
Hi, Jeff.
You're in the USA.
Yes, mate. Absolutely.
Whereabouts?
I am in a little town called Columbia, which is in Pennsylvania, about an hour and a half from Philly.
Wow.
All right. Similar to this part of the world, then, in that area, then.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, obviously, you're obviously a Sheffield Wednesday fan. What's been your take on what's happened and what should happen next?
Well, look, first of all, we have to say, you know, Stuart Gray did. I'm not going to say a good job. I'm going to say an acceptable job. I know that's not going to be popular opinion with everyone. I was actually one of the people that didn't want Gray in the first place and wasn't a big fan of Stuart Gray last season, even though we had some good results on the road last season. Away record was decent. Our home record was very, very, very poor. Substitutions, strange substitutions sometimes. I didn't think he ever grasped what it was like to set up a team to play at home, albeit he was a good away game manager. I thought it was poor at home, never grasped it in the year and a half that he was here, how for us to play at home, couple of exceptions aside. So for me, if everyone can always say, oh, this is hard lines on Stuart, this is hard, you know, he deserved a chance. If anyone can say, hand on heart, that they're absolutely positive that Stuart Gray would make a good fist of getting Wednesday promoted, and that they could even envision a day where Stuart Gray had got Wednesday promoted, I'd be very surprised if people are being honest. So with that being said, this has to be the right decision.
Well, people have said the same thing about Mark Warburton getting Brentford into the playoffs, or whether Watford's fourth manager of a season, which at one point, you know, didn't exactly look like a promotion campaign. And would people say, oh, yeah, Slavisa Jukanovic, if I'm saying that right, is the man to get Watford up, or even Eddie Howe at Bournemouth? I mean, this is the thing, though, Jeff. I think of all the managers who were in the top six, and correct me if I'm wrong here, last season, none of them had managed in the Premier League before.
Right, and, you know, that's not necessarily a prerequisite to be a successful manager in this league, that you have to that you have to have had Premier League experience.
Sure, but none of them, yeah. None of them were, you know, we had conversations at the end of the year where people were saying it's time for Gray to go and to get a proven manager who's won promotion before, all that talk. And yet the top six, you know, Alex Neil at Norwich, for example, you know, you wouldn't have plucked his name out of the hat when Norwich made the change and got rid of Grant and said, right, OK, this is the man that's going to get Norwich promoted. And
absolutely.
And yet he did it. So while we can say, oh, well, Stuart Gray probably wasn't going to hit Wednesday up, I just kind of look at the other teams and think, well, if he had the tools, then why would we rule it out?
Well, I think if he comes in fresh without knowing the beast, so to speak, then you'd be right. You know, you'd be right to treat Stuart Gray like that and say and use all those points to back Stuart Gray's case up. However, Wednesday's has had this manager for a year and a half now, you know. Last year was progress, you're right, but there was still gaping holes, you know, in that team, and still criticisms to be had of tactics and substitutions. And you know, I will give Stuart credit for Tom Lees, for Westwood. But I found him to be very loyal to players that were, you know, overly loyal to players as well that didn't deserve his loyalty. I think Niuhu being one. I know he released Magoma, but Magoma was one where he was almost sure of starting every game. Matok being another one. So using those points that you've made, you know, you're right to say that if we were talking about Stuart Gray being appointed today and people calling in saying, oh, he's not the man, you're right. But we've had the man for a year and a half. We know what he's all about. We know what he brings to the table. We know what he's about. We know what he doesn't bring to the table as well. That being said, I think we needed a fresh leader here. And for me, it's an exciting day. I trust the new owner to a point. I want to see what he brings in now. If it's Rhoda, obviously that's not good. But you know, I think we have to trust him. It's his club. He's bought us, and he's going to be pumping a lot of money in this summer. If he's not sure as well, if he can't put hand on heart and say, I envisage the day when Gray leads us to promotion, then he's got to make the change, hasn't he?
That's a fair point. No, that's absolutely fair. Who do you want as a new manager then, Jeff? Who's the name that you would think, that's going to give me the confidence this year?
Well, I was listening to you a little bit here, and I think you underplay a little bit sometimes how big a club Wednesday are, and I know there's going to be groans in the background on that, you know, because I'm not going to go down this typical, you know, Wednesday fan arrogance, we're this, that. We're a championship club, and we've been a championship club for the best part of, 15 years. But we're a big, big club, you know, we're a big club with a lot of potential. Now, when we replaced Dave Jones and you saw the list of available and realistic people coming in, you know, the list isn't great. Okay, but now, with the investment, with the money to spend, who wouldn't want to come to Wednesday and be the guy that finally wakes this giant up and gets us promoted? I get the Allardyce thing is, you know, people are saying it's a tad unrealistic. For me, it's not. If you're big Sam Allardyce, you know, you've proved that you've done a job in the Premier League, you can keep teams in the Premier League, which is key as well. Why wouldn't, if Sam has
the only reason I keep saying that about the Allardyce link, Jeff, is that ultimately he has come out and said, I am taking a break from football. I'm going to get away from the game.
That.
I'm not looking for another job. And he's taken himself out of it. And I think he said something about he was going to go away. And I seem to remember something about going to Dubai or something.
He's
got
Spain
family
at the moment.
Wherever. You know, he's going to get away from the game. Now, to come back and in dramatic fashion and come back at Sheffield Wednesday, hey, look, he's well within his rights to change his mind, Jeff, on that and come back to football. Uh-huh. It's just that's the kind of the, I don't know, that's the counter I would bring to the table right now as everybody rushes to put their money on Sam Allardyce.
As they seemingly are doing.
Rob, let's be right, Rob. There's not every day that a job comes up where you're being told, hey, you can go into that squad. You've got 2 months before the season starts and you've got 15, I'm going to use 15 million to spend on the team.
Well, have they?
Maybe have they, haven't they? We don't know, do we?
But well,
there's
we
money
don't
to
know.
Spend. You've got money to spend. You can start afresh. You've got all these out-of-contract players that we've released. You've basically got a blank canvas to go in. There's not many jobs that come up like that, you know, with money to spend.
Okay, all right,
Jeff,
well,
thanks for your call.
We'll see
to
what
the
happens
program.
Then, Jeff. This is Matt. We'll go to Matt quickly.
Hi, Matt.
We've been waiting a while. Hi, Matt.
Good evening. Good evening, Andy. Good evening, Rob.
Good evening.
I started with him because I'm not quite exactly sure what to say tonight. Rob, I was on with yourself a few weeks ago, not long after the takeover took place, and I actually said that we owed Stuart Gray a massive thank you, just as much as we did Milan Mandarić, for keeping us where we are and helping this takeover to take place. To release him at this stage, I think, is a huge error. I really do. I think a key word I've always mentioned all season is stability, and we've got stability. We'd built on that. We'd got Mandarić in. We'd got Gray. Stuart Gray did what he had to do last season, and we equaled a clean sheet record last season, which people seem to forget about. He dealt with the players that we'd got, with the money that he was able to spend, and I thought personally that he did an awesome job. And I think, as a season ticket holder already moving forward, I was really, really excited about the forthcoming season. Because people, I mean, the last caller's just come on and said, we're a massive club, you know, we've been a sleeping giant for 15 years. We've been nowhere for 15 years. And I said at the time, Rob, when I spoke to you last, that we had a new takeover and we've got Gray in charge and an excellent setup. That was the time to get excited. What have we done today? Realistically, what have we done today? Yeah, we've got a new owner. Nobody's got any idea how much money he's going to spend. Have you lads got any idea how much money he's going to spend?
Have you? I haven't.
No, not really. We refer back to what Milan Mandarić said about a significant investment, but, you know, we don't. We can only guess.
So, you know, we released... I thought a statement of intent was when we allowed the non-contract players or the release players to go. There was 11 players released, I think, and clearly that meant that there was going to be some funds available. Stuart Gray obviously made the decision who went at that stage. So the plans must have been in place. So what's happened today that we've decided to throw the stability in the air because now it's new owners and nobody's got an idea how much it's going to spend? We've obviously got hope and everything else, but what are we going to do? What's the name that's going to come in now and build us forward? I really do not understand the decision today. I'm at a loss for words. I really am.
It sounds to me, Matt, like you need convincing now. Like this, as we've talked about on this show, this appointment has to be someone that almost wins you around a little bit. It needs to be a big name who's done it in this level before.
Yeah, but for, people are saying, oh, you know, Nigel Pearson, he's done all right. He's done well at Leicester. It was a miracle what he's done at Leicester. Why should we bring that in now? What's going to happen? We've got the stability. We've got Lee Bullen at the club, who's a massive Wednesday fan. He brought Kieran Westwood in when nobody thought we even needed to change our goalkeeper. He brought Kieran Westwood in. He's brought Tom Lees in. There's players there. Stevie May, people disagree with, certainly I do. Do you know, if we'd had a striker that scored 8 more goals this season, if we'd have scored 8 more goals this season, would have been probably, what, 4, 5, 6 places higher?
Almost certainly.
So why now? He's done what he had to do with the squad that we had last season. It's just, I'm absolutely baffled by it. We've not had stability for 15 years. We've got it. Mandarić handed over to a good man. Mandarić obviously handed over with Stuart Gray in charge. Why now? Why? When we've got the stability and the opportunity that let Stuart Gray build. He's obviously a good name in football. Not a good name that he's on telly every day and he says good things and he's got passion and he's jumping up and down and all that. He brings people in. We've had Chelsea loanees. We've had Man United loanees. He's had players like Tom Lees want to come in and who he's developed. Kieran Westwood don't want to go anywhere this season, in pre-season, or so we hope. Who knows now? Who knows? Mm. Are we selling tomorrow? Who knows?
Well,
what is going to happen now?
The players, as mentioned earlier, had a lot of time for Stuart Gray, and I did mention at the start that... you know, we've had a text from one of them saying that this is terrible news, and you know, players understand football and they understand the way that the game operates now, and it moves on very quickly. But there'll be a lot of disappointed Sheffield Wednesday players this evening at the news that Stuart Gray has been sacked. Let's speak to Mick.
Hi, Rob. Yeah. Well, I'm a bit like your last caller, Matt. I'm really up in the air. I mean, if you look at what's happened since end of the season, what have we got to be excited about? Prices have gone ridiculous. You know, and now this on top of it. All I can see at the minute is we're getting a pitch and a big telly. People keep saying we've got money to spend. Well, how do they know? I don't know whether... It's all right saying, I'll spend whatever it takes. There's a guy across City said, game-changing investment. You know, they're still waiting for that. I hope we're not going to be waiting for this, whatever it takes, you know, and the next season. And... I mean, the speculation about Westwood, people like that, is it all breaking up? What we had is what we had, which wasn't... It were never going to take us to Premier League, what we've got. But what we had took us to mid-table in Championship, best we've finished in years. Is that all falling apart now? And that's what it feels like to me, to be honest.
Well, that's why the club need to make some... they're going to have to pick the head... Well, assuming head coach next, unless there's going to be yet more dramatic changes. And following on from that, let's say they get somebody and then the fans go, I can see that. I can see why the decision is made. And then some signings, fairly sharpish, that are going to make people go, actually, this season, you know what? We might have a chance.
Well, I'm a fair amount-minded bloke. I think Stuart Gray earned himself a shot. But obviously, football's not that type of industry. Djukanovic has been mentioned. Now,
we've mentioned pretty much everybody.
Well, I know, but I think have been absolutely ridiculous. But anyway, if you look at the best team I saw last season were Watford. But that were down to Vidra, Dina, Igalo, Abdi. You know, it were down to players like that, and we haven't got them players. I mean, you're saying we're two or three players. I think we're six or seven players away from a decent starting 11. They mind a decent squad. So I'm really, really nervous about how things are at the moment. I can see it being a sort of left-field appointment that they've come up with, to be honest, to fit in with this committee thing, which I'd like to see it given a go, but I wanted it given a go with Gray. Now, whether Gray wanted to work in that sort of situation, we don't know. Nobody knows. But I think the next appointment has left me... I mean, this has left me feeling really, really nervous for no season coming, be honest.
Mick, we're going to move on, so we're going to get Ryan on before we finish. This is Ryan. You're the last caller, Ryan.
Evening, Ryan.
Evening, Andy. Evening, Robbie.
Hi. Hey.
Bit of a shock, isn't it? I don't know what to say.
Well, sir, it's all right. You've only got 40 seconds, though, Ryan.
Well, I don't have a long. I just want to be given a chance. Looking at the latest manager odds, I just noticed Allardyce has gone on board. Can't see it being him. If I were to pick a manager, maybe the guy was just off Watford, Yankovic, or whatever his name is.
Yeah, right. Look, it's a terrible line, Ryan. I really apologise for that, but we are going to move on. Sadly, we've come to the end of the show, but we'll have more on this in breakfast tomorrow on BBC Radio Sheffield. The news that Stuart Gray has left his job today. Let's just finish with a couple of texts. This one from Robin Halfway. I'm assuming that those who want Lambert are currently suffering from insomnia, as his style of football will definitely cure it. It says Antville only scored 13 goals all season by the time he was sacked. And Dean says it's a strange decision tonight. A lot of different opinions on this, Andy, and I'm sure this debate is going to rage on and on.